Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you this morning, and it's even better to know that we're with our Lord and have this time to be together with Him and to hear from Him. And I hope in our times together that you personally encounter the Lord. I hope that you grow in your relationship with Him, that you experience Him in a deeper way, and that this helps you in your walk. You know, as we open God's Word this morning to Psalm 9, we read, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all of your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you have given to us. Lord, the opportunity to be with you. And, O Lord God, the opportunity to hear from you. Fathers, we're before you. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your goodness and your grace. And Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes, O Lord, so that we will be able to thank you and to praise you truly from our heart, Lord. Even more, even in the midst of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Be with us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we read verses like we read there in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 9, and we read about giving thanks to the Lord with all of our heart, we read about being glad and exulting in Him and singing praise to Him. We read that, we know that we usually have the response of, well, I know I should, I really ought to, but, you know, today I have this problem or this worry or this situation I need to go through, or I look at the news, what's happening in the world, whether it's COVID or the political unrest or the anxiety as we watch Hurricane Sally, and certainly want to be in prayer for those along the Gulf Coast. But we read those verses and we read similar verses to those and we think, well, how on earth can I truly, really from the heart, not just saying the words, but from the heart, give thanks to the Lord in the midst of this? Whether it's concern for friends or loved ones along the coast, or whether it's the COVID situation, whether it's the political environment that we find ourselves in. Why? What will enable us to really give thanks to the Lord? Well, as we read through the balance of the psalm, David actually gives us the reasons why we can praise and thank the Lord. It's not an absence of problems. It's not some charmed life that he was living. It's not some special season where there were no problems or worries or issues. But David was able to thank the Lord because of who the Lord is and what he had done in the very midst of the problem. And so as we think about this psalm, as we look at it and we think about giving thanks to the Lord with all of our heart, and we find the concrete reasons why, we see the number one, our God is faithful. Look at verses 3 through 6. "When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you, for you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins, and you have uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished." Obviously, David is in the very midst of problems. He's very familiar with it. It's not that he's lived a charmed life. And yet again, back verses 1 and 2, giving thanks to the Lord with all of his heart, telling of God's wonders, being glad and exulting in the Lord. Why? Again, because of God's faithfulness. Look at the very first part of verse 4. "For you have maintained my just cause." In those other verses we read in 3 through 6, David's looking back on those situations. What he is saying is, God, you have been faithful. In the midst of all of these problems, in the midst of very real enemies, in the midst of very real danger, God, you have been faithful. I can look back in my life and I can see that you have never failed me. You have done things differently than I thought of at the time. But when I look back, I see your wisdom, your perfection. God, you have been faithful. Child of God, think with me for a moment. Think back on your life from where you are now, from all the time that you've been walking with the Lord. And I hope that you have personally come to know the Lord. And if you haven't, I hope that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But believer, look back, and I want to ask you a question. I want you to answer it very honestly within your heart before the Lord. Has God ever failed you? Now, I won't deny that there have been times, no doubt, where God has had a different plan. But if you're really honest, He's never failed you. Think with me, what should that tell us about where we are now? That ought to tell us that we can trust God, whether we're talking about the world situation, our national crisis at this point, our lives in general, or that worry or burden that you have this morning. We can trust the Lord with it. And again, I can't tell you the details of what God will specifically do in that situation, but He is faithful, and you can trust Him. And what a reason to praise Him this morning in the midst of all the problems, whether they are personal or worldwide. We have a God who is faithful. And in the midst of all the chaos, the uncertainty, the fear, the worry, we have a God who is in fact faithful. But not only is our God faithful, but our God is eternal. It's very clearly stated in the very first part of verse 7, but the Lord abides forever. Our God is eternal, but then he goes on and he talks about the various implications of that. Think of what we see in the latter part of verse 7 on through verse 8. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. God is just and righteous, as he has always been, he is now, and forever will be. He is again, as we've already stated, faithful. The Lord will also be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Just as he has in the past, he is now, and forever will be faithful, as we talked about a moment ago. And as a result of that, verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. He is, in fact, trustworthy. Our God is eternal. And I know when we talk about God being eternal, we usually just stop to think about the fact, well, that means he has always existed and always will exist. And that's true. But coupled with that aspect of him being eternal is the aspect that he is immutable. That means that he is unchanging and unchangeable. He has always existed, to be sure, but he has always existed as who he is, and he does now and forever will be. And when you study God's Word, and as we sit before him this morning, we need to remember very simply, as we look back at the Scriptures, who God was, he is, and always will be. And what God did, he does, and always will. This same God that we read about in the Scriptures is exactly the same today and is unchanging forever. He can never, ever be less than he was. When we read all those miraculous events and God's working and moving, God will never be less than that. He can never be less than that, because then he would no longer be God. He would no longer be eternal. And the other side of that coin is God can never be better than that, because he's always perfect. God is the eternal God. And you think about that when we read such passages, say, back as in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. And we talk about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Believer, and this again is for those who know Christ, and if you don't know him, I hope that you place your faith and trust in him. But believer, think about it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who worked miracles for Moses and David. The God of the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah. The God who became flesh and walked among men. The God of Paul and Peter. The God of James. The God of John is the God of you. He is unchanging. He is eternal. This same great God is now and will always be. And we can rejoice in him because we have a God who's eternal. Not only always existed, but is unchanging in that eternal existence. But not only do we see that God is faithful and that he is eternal, we also see, number three, that God is involved. You might think, what on earth does that mean? And to be sure, it's not a real biblical study term. But I want you to think about the fact that our God is involved. Look at verses 11 through 16. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples his deeds. For he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all of your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, and the net which they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. In the work of his own hands, the wicked is snared. Hagion, Selah. You think about that. God is present, and he is in fact working. In this very situation, our God is involved. We read up in verse 12, he who requires blood remembers them. The aspect of God's justice and God's judgment, being near, being present, in fact, working. And David prays based upon the fact that God is involved and God is working. Again, verse 16, the Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. In the works of his own hands, the wicked is snared. We need to remember, God is not merely up there. Now, to be sure, God the Father is upon his throne. God the Son is at his right hand, where he always makes intercession for his children, for his people. But God, through his Holy Spirit, has come to live within us, believer. And we are never apart from him. And he is always with us, always working, always moving, always in every part of our life. Believer, God is with you in that situation today, whatever that situation is for you, a need, a worry, a concern, a problem, a challenge, an adversity, whatever the case may be, hopefully a good time. But God is with you in that situation. Whatever you're facing, you are not alone. You don't have to handle it alone. This God who is faithful, this God who's eternal and unchanging, is the God who's personally involved in your life. You think about how that changes that situation for you. And you think about how that moves us to truly being able to thank him in the midst of the problem. But then notice the fourth truth that comes out of this passage. Our God is sovereign. Look at verses 17 through 20. The wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God. For the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Yes, they are but men, but O God, you rule and you reign. They may exalt themselves, they may call themselves all kinds of titles, they may refer to themselves as kings, rulers, emperors, dictators, whatever the case may be. But O Lord, you are God. You rule, you reign, and you have it completely under control. God is sovereign, not wicked men, nor Satan, who is ultimately behind them, but God, who rules and reigns. He is sovereign. And God will bless his people in spite of this world and the hatred of God's people from Satan's tools. God will carry and bless his people. He rules, he reigns, he is sovereign. As we read in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? The idea, if God, this great sovereign God, is with us, who can possibly oppose us? Who can possibly defeat us? Who can possibly overwhelm us? King James says, who can be against us? Our God is sovereign. We can rest and we can rejoice in him. And again, you may be facing some very difficult problem today that seems large, insurmountable, too complex to even understand, much less to know how to solve. Child of God, your Father, who loves you with an unlimited love, so much so that he sent his Son to die upon the cross for you, is in absolute control. And you might not understand what he's doing, you might not see what he's doing, you might not see where he's taking you, but he is in absolute control. You're not left a chance. It's not by accident. He is sovereign. And in the midst of the chaos, the confusion, the worry, the anxiety, the fear, we can rest. In fact, we can rejoice because God is sovereign. No wonder David said, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all of your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. What a way to live. And I hope you can live that way today. Because we have a God that we can trust. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you for who you are. And oh Lord God, when we remember who you are, it changes everything about our lives, our living, our outlook. Father, our purpose, our direction, our security. Father, turn our eyes upon you. And oh Lord God, whatever any of us may be going through this morning personally, for all that we see taking place in our nation, all we see taking place in our world, oh Lord God, may we rest and rejoice and give thanks to you for who you are. Thank you, oh God, that we can trust you. You are so good. In Jesus' name, amen. I do hope that you can rest and rejoice in the Lord this morning and throughout this day. Hope that you experience him, and I hope that you have a great day in him.